episode of Ball Club Confidential, brought to you by the great people at Knoxville Smiles. Coming up tonight on the show, we have Tennessee pitching coach Frank Anderson. But before then, we talk about the Volunteer Club. We talk about the shop at the Volunteer Club. And, of course, you have the store downtown. Go check that out. Cool merch like this right here. I mean, doesn't this make you think of, you know, Carhartt? I mean, I think this is one of the coolest hats that they have. And Tim Burchett, you know, U.S. congressman, loves to wear that Carhartt jacket. Why not get a Carhartt Vols hat? Make that sales pitch to him. We'll talk about more about that later on the show, but for right now, let's talk about Knoxville Smiles.
I'm Tennessee basketball player JP Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Welko is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Do y'all have a bigger chair?
Coach Anderson, I've been itching to get you out here for a while. I want to start back. You're from Grant, Nebraska,
right?
Which is probably closer to Denver than it is about any other major city, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's probably a handful of miles from Colorado border by Holyoke, probably less than 10 miles, and you're probably another 40 or 50 from Kansas. So it's about as far southwest in the state as you can go. Yeah.
So did you grow up a Denver fan as far as like the professional sports teams? I mean, were you a Nebraska kid growing up, Cornhuskers? What were you favorite?
You know what? My dad managed co-op grain elevators, and so we moved a little bit. So we were in Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska. I graduated high school in Nebraska, but I grew up a Chiefs fan, Lenny Dawson and the Chiefs from back then. And then when you moved to Nebraska, I mean – they were really good at the time in football, Bob Devaney and then Tom Osborne. But I was a Oklahoma fan and a Jack Mildren fan more than anything, guy that was quarterback of the Wishbone at that time, and probably one of the few at that point. But you evolve into where you're kind of a Nebraska football fan. You can't help. And then now kind of a Nebraska volleyball fan. But yeah, it's kind of where I ended up. But we usually went places. My dad would check in to see what the athletic programs were before we moved to some of those little towns. But it was a lot of fun.
You played quarterback in high school.
Right.
You played a lot of sports. I mean, yeah. You don't see that as much anymore.
Right.
Sometimes.
But, right.
You know, what was that like growing up and kind of being that guy that played a little bit of everything and did it at a high level?
Well, you did. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot else to do. I mean, you have farm kids, and I was fortunate that I was at schools that like had pretty good success, and so we won the state championship my junior in football, and two guys went to Nebraska and played, which were is a big deal for a small community like that. And Tom Osborne comes to town, and I mean, it was like the second coming right there when he comes to town to see those guys. And everybody in the town knows when that guy pulls in, right?
Yeah.
So, but it is fun. I mean, at the time, you know, a lot of work, a lot of farm kids and stuff like that. And you think, hey, this is crap. I hated it. But looking back, you're going, yeah, it kind of develops pretty good work ethic and not bad for somebody to do that.
You've been in baseball such a long time.
Yeah, I'm old.
But like, what lessons have you maybe learned along the way, and then what lessons do you feel like you've been able to pass on?
You know, it's funny because sometimes, you know, I believe it or not, even though I'm not real social all the time with everybody, I have developed relationships with our guys, and I think that they can learn some different things just from the stories I tell and different things that have happened along the way. And sometimes they look at me like, is that really true? You know, that type of stuff. Did that really happen? And when you've been doing it 40 years, I'm not saying you see everything that's going to happen, but you've seen quite a bit of it. And so a lot of times, you know, what you see happen on the field or what some things that happen off the field that you can help kids with, you know, we've done it before. Now it's a little bit different. The The when I first started coaching, most of them were Bobby Knight type guys and stuff like that. I don't know.
Hellfire and brimstone.
Absolutely. My way or the highway. And that doesn't, I mean, I don't think that works nowadays. And I think I'm glad for it. You know, we all tried to kind of do it that way because that was the mold or the formula or whatever we thought. And then now, I kind of like it better. I mean, it's a lot more, I think more relationship based, you know, rather than a, either do it this way or get out type thing. And I think you probably get more out of the kids. And now, you know, everybody says their generation's tougher. I don't know if that's true or not, but it is a little bit different.
Do you ever remind the kids that you were a pretty good player back in your day? Because, I mean, it's easy for them to look at you as just Coach Anderson, like the old school coach, more so than Coach Anderson, the guy that used to play.
You know, believe it or not, we had a guy at the stadium this fall that was scouting when I played. And so, but yeah.
How old is this guy?
Hey, he's pretty old, right? and so, you know what? That kind of helped a little bit. But, I'm telling you, you know, Tony will badmouth how bad a player he was and this and that. But he was actually a pretty good player. But the farther you get away from playing, the better you are. I mean, you know what? I was a pretty good player, but
that single became a double.
Yeah,
double
exactly.
Became a triple, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, I played at a small school and that kind of stuff. But I knew, you know, I probably wasn't going to play professionally, and I was fortunate enough. I figured that out pretty early, and so I decided, you know, this is kind of the thing that I wanted to do. So it's pretty easy to transition to it.
Everybody's seen that clip of in the Greg Maddux special of, you know, Chipper Jones explaining, like, you know, Leo comes out to the mound and, you know, he's like I'm gonna strike him out on two pitches, or I'm gonna give him to pop to Chipper on two pitches, right? Like, I know it's you're coaching college ball, so it's not the same as dealing with the Greg Maddux. But when you go out to the mound and you're talking to kids, like, is it always like, okay, hey, what are we working on here? Or is it sometimes like, oh, we've got to kill some time to get the guy in the bullpen? Like, what are those conversations like when it's not, when you're trying to give the person in the pen an extra 2 to 3 minutes?
You know, it used to be, now the rules have changed because assistant coaches are not supposed to actually talk to the officials or the umpires in our game now, where, hey, I think I got ejected 8 or 9 times one year.
You ejected? No.
Yeah, hey, but lately I've been pretty good, and this one last year was crap because I should not have been ejected with that one, and the guy would probably admit to it now, but at the time. But anyway, no, most of the time, you know, if you want to kill a little bit of time, most of the time when I go out, Tony will make changes, you know, where he brings the other guy, and we've worked it out where it's a pretty good deal. But when I go out there, usually it's a more direct deal. Hey, here's the defense we're going to go with. Here's what we're going to do. And then usually, be honest, I try to bring some levity to it. And it, you know, and I'm not going to lie, some of it can be a little off color, or it can be this or it can be that, but it's something that maybe can relax the situation and loosen up the situation. And so it's okay, here's what we're going to do. And or I'll come out there and it'll be a double play situation, maybe first and third, and it's a big situation. I'll say, hey, who's got him on a ball back to him right here? Hey, when he gets this ball, be ready, and blah, 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 different things like that. And you can – not that they're going to get exactly what you say, but you can kind of present a subliminal message. Hey, this is what we'd like to do right here. And so, hey, who's got him if the ball goes to him? This is what's going to happen. We're going to throw this pitch. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you're going to try to ease attention because when I don't like to go out. I used to go out quite a bit, and you saw where the more you go out, kids' perception started to go, hey, I must be in trouble if this guy's coming out to talk to me.
Yeah.
And so now when I go out, it's more so it's a pretty big situation, and I'm going to try to do something that helps stem the tide.
We like to peel back the curtain and let them see the Wizard of Oz here on Ball Club Confidential. What? Give me a story from last year where you went to the mound and, you know, in a situation in a game that you can tell it's not colorful, that, you know, that I think the fans would enjoy.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you about the one time I got thrown out last year, because my goal was not to get thrown out the entire year. Not that that's whatever, but I go out to the mound and the, you know, we have umpire strike zone with whatever, you know, and been chirping a little bit, and I go out there and I go, and we're standing there, and I'm telling Christian Moore, I go, hey, I'm not getting thrown out. He goes, Coach, don't get thrown out right here. And I go, we're waiting for the umpire, and my goal is going to try to get back to square one with the umpire. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to get thrown out. Amen. It's over. Let's get back to square one. Let's play on. And I go, hey, man, you're not going to throw me out. And I start to say, hey, it's over with. We're going to stay off your ass, and things are going to go on, okay? And as soon as I said, you're not going to throw me out, he throws me out. And he thought that I was, like, challenging him, that sure. He didn't have the authority, or he didn't have, you know, whatever, enough to throw me out. And so he throws me out. And the next day, I can't remember, it might have been Billy or maybe Dean was over there by third. And the guy goes, hey, what were you guys? Because when he came out, we were laughing. Because like Christian Moore goes, hey, do not get thrown out. We're laughing about it. And so when he came out, I'm smiling. I go, hey, you're not going to throw me out. And he throws me out. And I think it was Dean that told him, he goes, hey, we're laughing about, we talked about, hey, he wasn't going to get thrown out. And he was basically going to not apologize, but hey, man, let's get back to square one. We're going to stay off of you. You do your job, we'll do our job, and we'll just go on. He goes, you're kidding me. And he goes, no, that's what that's what we're going to talk about. And he goes, and so I don't know if he felt bad or not, because I don't know if they ever feel bad about dumping you, but that was my one. And I'm going, how did that ever happen? Now, because I will tell you this, the Super Regional where I got kicked out here, that bothered me, because we got beat by Notre Dame, and that was one that I would – winning last year made that a lot easier, because I wasn't there for the last two games. Because
that was such a special team.
Oh, God, yeah. And not that I could have made any difference, but I would have liked to have been there.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you coach little things here and there. I mean, you know, the ability to, you know, for you to go, Tony, let's leave him in. I think he's got this one. I mean, you know, that goes a long way. I mean, no, every time you see a coach make a key critical decision, you know, in any sport.
Sure, absolutely.
When are you having your most fun? You seem like an in the lab, in the cage, like just grinder practice kind of guy.
I like that part the most, and the interaction with the kids, and taking somebody that, you know, as a talent, they're all talented. They got some talent. They wouldn't be here. But taking a guy, say a non-drafted guy like Dolander, and all of a sudden now you're a first rounder in those type of situations. And you asked me about where Grant was. I bet outside of our basketball coaches, I'm the only one that knows where Dalton Connect went to junior college at Northeastern Colorado. I just thought about that. You asked me about Grant. I talked to him about that too. You know where Northeastern Colorado Junior College is?
I do not.
Sterling, Colorado. Yeah, that was it. Not that it has anything to do with
that. Is that just across the line from Grant?
Oh, absolutely. That's where we used to go and have Coors beer back in the day. Did you know that they couldn't take Coors beer past the Mississippi State line or the Mississippi River, I think, wasn't it, or something like that one time? You can sell it east
of the Mississippi.
I think that was what it was, something like that, yeah.
Well, it got changed.
It did get changed. But, we thought we were hot stuff going to Colorado and doing that. But anyway.
For you, like, winning, you'd won a College World Series before.
Right.
But to win one last year with Tony, because you came in here in 2017
right.
and made the decision to come here and kind of build this thing from nothing.
Sure.
It had been on such hard times.
Sure.
Facilities run down. We're seeing great changes with all that
sure.
and everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, what was that culmination like? When you get the strikeout, what's going through your mind?
Well, I mean, when I decided to come here, I was going to Arizona State. My daughter had graduated from high school, and I was coaching at University of Houston, and my wife did not like the city of Houston. I wasn't a big fan of Houston either. I mean, it's it's huge, right?
Yeah.
And the traffic, and it was like 1 hour to get there, 1 hour to going home, you know, to our subdivision where we were at, stuff like that. But when I grew up, the teams were Miami, Texas, Arizona State, USC. Great baseball schools. Those were the four. And I'd already been at Texas, so I was going to go to Arizona State. And then Tony, he's a good recruiter. And he goes, hey, man, just come look at it, right? And now I knew him from when he played. I knew him from coaching. You know, when I recruited a lot and when he recruits, we're not right in the middle of the rest of the guys. We're down the line, we're here, we're there. And so we got to know each other pretty well, and he did a good job recruiting me to get me here.
He's got the old Italian blood, so he gets to running hot. Obviously, you run a fraction hot at times. Is Elander the guy that can cool you all down? I mean, because a lot of times you would say you need a yin to the yang. Is he that for you too?
I think so. And you know, his personality and, you know, his demeanor, I think that's, you know, when he gets that opportunity to be a head coach, I think that will, you know, be one of his biggest traits, is that he's a lot more even keel. Now, inside, I think he's not any different than we are.
Sure.
But it probably doesn't bubble, you know, to the top like ours does quite as much. And I'm getting better. I have to.
Is the goal the same? Is this year's goal not to get thrown out?
No, I mean, I have different goals.
We
didn't say
that. We're good to get thrown out this year.
I don't like missing games, though, but they changed the rules there where maybe if you didn't get suspended for the next game, it might not be that big a deal to me, but I don't like being away or getting suspended or doing all that stuff.
Yeah, unless you're missing, like, Bellarmine on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. And yeah.
You get tossed on a Sunday.
Because then I can go out and see some high school games on Tuesday night. You know, maybe there's somebody we need to go see or something.
When you're looking at this year's pitching staff, tell everybody about it. Like, what are they to look for? Because, I mean, you had so much change from a year ago.
Oh, absolutely.
What are the names that Tennessee fans, you know, need to know about?
Well, you know some of them. I mean, obviously, Nate Snead was here.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's one of the bigger ones. And Andrew Binkie, you know, he pitched some. And Marcus Phillips, you saw some glimpses of him. But some of the newer guys. And Austin Hundley, you know, is coming back. And so, and I'm sure there's somebody I'm forgetting. But we lost quite a bit. We did. And so, you know, we've got a couple kids out of the portal, Liam Doyle from Ole Miss.
Yep.
And then we got Tanner Franklin that came from Kennesaw State. And then we got some freshmen that are good arm guys, and then some junior college kids that have a chance. But it's going to be, you know, earlier it'll be a work in progress because it's so many new guys and things like that. But that's what makes it fun. I mean, that deal last year is about as unconventional as I've ever been a part of. And
is that what made it that much better?
It was, for me, it was fun because it was, you know, there's 7, 8, 9 guys every day that came to the field that had a chance to pitch, because our starters were not going to go deep into games. We had one opener and actually two for a while till Xander kind of took off. And so Beam was really the only guy that, you know, would throw 4, 5, 6, 7 innings. And so everybody else, hey, we're going to come there, we're going to see what happens, and we'll make adjustments along the way, especially after Russell went down.
Marcus Phillips, everybody sees the flashes.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does he have to do, or what has he done to take the step?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, he's worked hard for one, and it's harder to give in if you work hard. And so I think that, you know, he just – the confidence level – he needs to take another jump, and if it does, it could be something pretty special. I just look at him. Good Lord. I mean, that's what he's supposed to look like. And he's been successful in the past. I mean, he's, you know, but he's also, he was, I think, finished second in the state in Mr. Basketball in South Dakota, which I don't care where you're at, finished second in state in Mr. Basketball, you're probably a pretty good athlete. And so, but it was more so that kind of stuff in baseball where he was at. And so he's kind of new to this thing a little bit, but he's really talented.
What about this year's pitching staff makes you smile?
Well, I just think that there's going to be kids that like to compete and the newness of it. I mean, you every year you're going to, especially with the portal now, you're going to go through different guys, and they're going to be here for a year and go on, or be here 2 years and go on. And it's always like, how are we going to replace these guys or this or that? But you get new guys in and you make new relationships and you make new progress with different guys. And so, yeah, there's still going to be a little bit of up and downs, but you hope you can maintain some of the consistency. It's different, though, than it's ever been, because 3 and 4 year guys, the Kirby, you know, Connells of the world, I don't know if we got many of them out there anymore.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, they are. For sure.
Dinosaurs.
And in all sports, in all of our sports.
Speaking of smiling, now more on Knoxville Smiles.
Knoxville Smiles depend on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
Let's talk more about this pitching staff. You got a guy like Dylan Lloyd, pigeon forge kid, right, and proved to be pivotal out there at the College World Series. Left-hander's got some pretty special stuff too.
No, he does, and he has a chance to, you know, pitch a lot of innings for us. He could start, he could relieve, do a lot of things. He pitched a championship game in the SEC tournament.
Yeah,
you know, and so you come from throwing maybe an inning or four outs, and all of a sudden now he goes almost five innings in the championship game. So, yeah, he has a chance to pitch a lot for us.
How do you know when a freshman's ready? You know, you go back a few years. I mean, Chase Burns, sure, Drew Beam, they're starting all year long as freshmen.
Right.
How did you know they were ready? How will you know if this year's group of freshmen are ready for that kind of spot?
Well, I mean, for one, you have to be pretty talented. I mean, obviously. But the other thing is that – when the lights come on and, you know, everybody goes, well, you've been pretty successful, what's one of your best coaching traits? I think part of it is you can look in somebody's eyes and see if they got a deer in the headlights look or a let's do this type thing. It doesn't always go great, but who likes to compete? Who's not scared of the situation? And the more you get out there, the more you get comfortable with it. And like you said, with Chase and Drew, we didn't really have a choice.
Yeah,
and
you weren't as deep back then.
No, and so hey, we kind of threw him out there, and we also started Dolander, who was a sophomore. So we started two freshmen and a sophomore, so it was a little bit. That's a little bit different than anything I've ever had. We also have some freshmen. Tegan Coons has a chance to be really good, also, No, it really is more so, okay, let's see who can handle this situation, who's not overwhelmed by it, you know, where it doesn't speed up, where it's like, you know, I've been here before. Now, it is a little bit easier because, as you know, hey, a lot of these kids have played in major league stadiums. They played in parks like ours or any, you know, big Division I facilities where a lot of times 15, 20 years ago, they're lucky to play in front of 100 people, you know, their parents and their girlfriends and stuff like that. And so now it's not quite as big a difference as it used to be.
For you, like, what's the biggest, when they get here, what's the biggest message you're trying to impress upon a freshman when they walk in the door? Like, what's your kind of, I don't know if it's a DIGA recruitment pitch or, you know, like just trying to prepare them for what's ahead. Like, what do you have something that you try to hit every one of them with every year, or does it literally change depending on the kids?
I think it changes a little bit because everything's individual for each kid. Now, I have a buffer, which is a great buffer for me because we have one of the best strength coaches in the country. And most – baseball used to not do this, but now we usually bring kids in the last session of summer school, and they'll go through all the strength training and, you know, they're – taking classes and stuff like that where they kind of get a jump ahead of, and our strength coach is pretty tough on them, and so, you know, you kind of have a little better idea than you ever had before of okay, who's going to meet this thing head on and who's going to scuff a little bit. And we talk a lot, you know, amongst our coaching staff of hey, where this guy's at or where that guy's at or how he's handling this and that. And so I think you have a better handle on all that stuff than you've ever had because of him.
Yeah, I think strength coaches across the board at in all sports are kind of that nice, like, undercover agent for the coaching staff. Yeah. Like football, you know.
Sure.
Basketball, too. Like, this kid's been really impressive. He's been on time. You kind of learn a lot about a kid. Like, is he going to be on time to things, or is he the perpetually late kid?
Sure. No, I think so a lot. And then, you know, when they first come in the summer, our sport's so different because a lot of them have gone through the draft. They maybe got drafted. Well, we had two kids, I think two, maybe just one, that was here actually going, getting ready to do all that stuff and got drafted and signed. And so, you know, where the draft falls now, it's kind of also right in that middle of that kind of stuff. And so they've got all kinds of stuff going on right there. But our strength coach does a really good job of navigating through that stuff and then kind of letting us know, hey, here's where this guy is, here's where, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I think it makes it easier transition for us.
Most talented pitcher you've worked with ever?
Probably, and now it's easy to say, and I didn't get the opportunity like I would have, but I think Chase Burns has got to be up there, Garrett Crochet. The Ben Joyce deal still just makes me smile every time I think about it because of where he was as a youngster and where he's at now and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's been quite a few. I mean, I've had quite a few major leaguers but
– Your son.
Yeah. Now, he – we were talking about that on the way over here. So, you know, we have a few guys can – run it up there pretty quick. And we were talking about somebody, you know, throwing some pretty high velocity today. And he goes, I'd have died to be able to do that, you know, yeah. Type deal, man.
It's like somebody that can hit the ball 320 yards off the tee versus somebody that hits it 270.
Sure.
It's a huge difference.
Well, your margin for error is much better when you throw it down the middle to Mike Trout at 100 as opposed to 92. You know, type deal.
Oh, you're exactly right about that. I mean, every time I see Chase or Ben Joyce, I think of the movie Rookie of the Year, like when like he throws and you can hear like the rubber band.
Sure.
And like, I mean, like he just whips that thing and it like it's like a blink.
Well, and plus it's, I mean, you know, knowing how hard the kid works and what a great kid he is, and then seeing, you know, him have that success and the humility that he has. You know, it's just fun to watch, and I've seen a lot of games. I've seen a lot of guys throw, but every time Ben would go out there, I'm not gonna lie, and our analytics guy Sean McCann and I would talk about, hey, it was like it was just fun to watch. It was a fan type deal.
Sure.
To see that type of ability that he would, and he's throwing so hard that nobody'd ever seen anything like that
ever.
No, ever.
Still.
And so that makes it a lot of fun.
Do you have a Mount Rushmore of pitchers? If there was a Mount Rushmore of pitchers, who are you putting on it?
As that in college that I've played against?
No. In baseball history.
You know what? Now that we're so data driven, and I actually got to coach against him because his kids were playing at TCU. Nolan Ryan. You know, to me, they had that documentary about him, and I still think maybe he's probably the hardest throwing guy, you know, I've ever seen in person, even though they don't have the numbers to back it up, you know, and this and that. He was one. I love to watch Greg Maddux. My first guy that I was a big Cardinals fan in the late 60s, Bob Gibson was, you know, and I was fortunate enough to see him. You know, I was trying to think some of the different guys that I've gotten to see over the years, but you know, just different situations. Maddux was fun because he pitched in the steroid era and was not a hard throwing guy, but won I think 355 games or some type deal, and was the most consistent guy maybe in the history
of
pitching.
His stats are just like when you start putting some of the stats out there, it's like. Just silly, right? Like, I mean, it's like when you see some of the Tiger Woods stats.
Right.
You know, like, they defy logic.
Yeah, and then you look at him, and he doesn't look the part.
No.
And,
whereas, like, Joyce looks the part, right?
No,
it looks
absolutely.
Like he was built in a lab.
Well, I always tell people that, you know, he looks like he could play tight end. He looks like he could do a lot of different things. And so, but I don't know. I've never... you know, I've never really thought about it from that standpoint, but just I hardly miss Maddox when he pitched because it was just fun to watch and how he was going to do it that day.
Well, that was my era. You grew up in this era, and for mine, I'm 41, so like that was 90s Braves on TBS, right? Sure. And so it was Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz and Steve Avery. And,
sure.
You know, I mean, just a ton of fun, you know.
No, and it was you know, they didn't have all the strike zone and all the analytical stuff where Maddox could get balls two and three balls off the plate for strikes, you know, and
yeah.
So could Glavine at times, and because they could throw it exactly where they wanted. But no, it's more so those guys than you know, maybe somebody that throw crazy hard or anything like that.
Your son retired a couple of years ago from the major leagues. Was he able to be in Omaha for the championship game?
Yeah, that was one of the most fun times I've had. He actually was there in 2002 when we won in the dugout, and I always tell people he was so upset because the NCAA wouldn't let him sit in the dugout unless he was a bat boy, and he was, I don't know, 6'1", about 190 at the time, and he was mad because he didn't want to have to go pick up our guys' bats, yeah. Right? And then he obviously got to be there this year, and that was probably one that, like I told Tony, I go, at the end of the day, winning, but for him to be there and hey, your kid come down on the field, and I mean, he's emotional and telling me he's proud of me and all that kind of stuff. You can't put a dollar figure on anything like that. I mean, it was awesome. And my daughter, my wife, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Grandbabies get to be there?
You know what? It was so hot. They didn't get to come.
Okay.
You know, it was like 105 sure. That day. I mean, it was brutally hot. And but they were there for all the games and all that kind of stuff. So, no, that was a lot of fun. And you know what? You'd be hard-pressed to see somebody that had national championships 22 years apart. You know, I didn't even think about that till just now, but it was 22 years between those two.
Well, if you can just hold off.
You know who was there also? Rick Barnes was at both of them.
Oh, wow, that's right.
He was at both of them.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yep.
Did you remind him of that, or did he?
You know, he
that?
Reminded me of that, and you know, that was cool because, well, and that's the other thing. I mean, obviously, you know, Tony's great at, and we all follow the other sports. You know. Where we're at, especially here, it's easy because most of the people, you know, are good people and you know them pretty well. And I've known Rick, like I said, the only thing, I always give Rick a bad time because I won't name where I was at before I came to Texas, but he told me the first time I ever met him, how's it to like it to go from the outhouse to the penthouse? And I was always giving him a bad time about that little deal right there. But like I said, he's always been really good to me. And it was really neat to have him come. We took pictures and did all that stuff in Omaha.
We got to get you down there on Millionaire Row at Thompson Bowling like Tony does, yelling at officials.
Hey,
that's legal yelling at officials.
They tried to get me to go down there the other night at the Georgia game.
Yeah,
and I go, I don't know exact because I move around because I'll go sit by myself, you know, somewhere. And I'm not exactly sure I know where my seats are because I never sit in those. I usually give them away, and then I'll go someplace else and sit different places. But, no, I don't need to be down there on the floor. I'll get myself in trouble down there. Hey, and plus, he likes that. He likes being down there.
When you get the lineup card and you see who the officials are for the weekend or whatever ahead of time, do you ever go, oh, jeez?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you've coached so long, you probably know, okay, this guy – he can be a pain, but we know what he likes. We know
sure,
what to do.
Absolutely.
You know how to work him a little bit.
No, and you know what? Like, over the years, it's gotten much easier. I mean, it's gotten where, like I said, now you can't really say anything too bad because of the, you know, getting, like, kicked out of the game. So I don't say too much to him. I told one of our officials, it's been 3 or 4 years back, and this is true. My wife... before all this, you know, data that we could get, she'd text me on my phone, my watch, and go, "Hey, the guy missed two pitches right there on this last hitter." My wife was an All-American softball pitcher. Yeah. I mean, she knows
know that.
More about this than, I mean, that's why my kid's 6'4", 230. I mean, obviously, you look at me and look at him, it's probably, you go, huh? But anyway, she was a really good player, and she's the reason our kid made it to the major leagues. I mean, she was tough on him. But, yeah, she'll text me. She goes, hey, this guy's missed some right here. And I went to
which the probably does not help you.
No, but I, you know what? I went to the mound, and I go, hey, I hate to say this, but my wife's told me he just missed two pitches on the last guy. And he goes, excuse me? I go, I'm not going to lie to you. She sent it on, she sent me a text on my, and it came up on my watch. And he goes, you're kidding. Well, I won't say what he exactly said, but he goes, you're kidding me, right? And I go, no, hey, I'm serious. And just hang in there, man. And he wasn't sure how to take that deal. I was being serious. But we kind of quit doing that now. We quit texting. I think they made you do away with some of that stuff in like the major leagues after the Astros deal or something.
Yeah, I can believe that. Because you're just constantly, you can get real-time updates, you know, with all that stuff going on.
Oh, I got to see my son pitch against the Astros that year probably two or three times. And that was wild. Now that you think back, you know, you see what was going on and different things. I wish I'd have heard some drums banging or the trash cans banging or something.
Favorite major league teams, who?
Like I said, when I grew up, there were the Cardinals and Harry Carey, Jack Buck. I mean, that was kind of it. And then being in Kansas City, then you become kind of a Royals fan.
George Brett.
Yeah. Well, I named my kid after him. Yeah. So, and I wanted to name him George. My wife wouldn't go for that, so we went with Brett. But, yeah, that was kind of the guy. And
did you put a little pine tar on him?
You know, when he was born, we, you know, like I said, I wanted to name him George. She wouldn't go for that, so we go Brett. We had to do a two T's because that was his last name and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't think he's ever met the guy. And being in baseball, you would think somewhere along the line maybe he would have met him.
Mm-hmm. So he knows it, though. He knows.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, initially, we had just moved to Texas. I wanted to name him William Robert Billy Bob, but my wife would not allow that to happen either. So wouldn't it be good to have a kid if you're in Texas named Billy Bob?
Hey, Will Brooks, starting safety on the football team, his name's William Robert. Billy Bob Brooks.
Yeah, that's what, but she didn't think it was that funny but or that good, so we went with Brett. Very simple.
Lastly, we'll get you out of here. You got the season coming up here in just a few weeks. You excited? Like, every season's a new journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it about this journey that has you excited?
Well, I mean, it's so many new guys, for one, but Tony makes it fun, too, because you've been around him. His energy's crazy, and it's fun to be at the park, the newness of all this. And it's going to take a while because you go, okay, let's see how this thing's going to evolve. And so I think that's what, you know, coaching is, trying to figure out how the pieces are going to fit together and stuff like that. But every opening day, I mean, you know, so I've been coaching since 83. I've had quite a few opening days. And so it's been a lot of fun. I mean, every time you start, you go out there and they start the national anthem, it's like, okay, here it goes. You know, here we go again. And it's you see a lot of different things, but it's exciting. And then whether you got, you know, back then we'd have 100 people in the stands, and well, if we have a decent weather, we'll have pretty good crowds here, obviously. But it's always fun. But yeah, we're excited to see what happens. But you don't know exactly till you get out there.
First season in 83. I was born in 83.
Oh my God! See, that's well, yeah. I don't know what to tell you about that deal.
Hey, that just means you're a veteran. You're seasoned.
Yeah. Well, let's put it that. Let's keep it there. Seasoned. That's a good way to put it.
You're seasoned. I'm seasoned. Starting to be seasoned more and more each and every episode. He's Coach Frank Anderson. We appreciate you. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.